Took James back to college this last week. Thank you for praying for us as we went. And he's not started school yet, but he got a job. So we were pretty excited about that. So that was he didn't have a job last year, so he got a job this year. We took him over a couple weeks early so he could look for a job, and that worked out. When James started school last year, he told me about something that one of his professors in his computer programming class said to them. He said, he was giving them a talk, and I'm not going to use all the words he used and say it how he said it, because I don't think it probably wasn't even appropriate. But he was telling the kids in the class, maybe some of them are not kids, but I'm thinking James, a lot of them are his age. He said, this is valuable stuff I'm teaching you. This is valuable stuff. He wanted them to know how valuable it was and how it wasn't a waste of their time to learn how to be a computer programmer and to learn, and that that could actually translate to them getting a job and to going out and earning a good living. And I tend to agree with what he was saying, that it's valuable stuff, you know, that they're doing. And if they'll pay attention and make the most of that opportunity, then they'll really get a lot out of that. And so I think that's valuable, but it made me think about this passage we're looking at today. The fact that what we're talking about today is even more valuable than that. It's more valuable than that. There are a lot of things that are of value in your life and that you can see the benefit from, and they're important. And sometimes they take work. Like a lot of times the things that are hard and worth it take a lot of effort, take a lot of work, but keep plugging away at it and it's well worth it. And then there are things that we sometimes pass on that are very good for us, that would be helpful for us, but we don't do them. Now, one of them that is an obvious comparison besides computer programming and learning and going to college and those kind of things is physical training. Exercise, taking care of our bodies, watching what we eat. Now, if you know me, and we talked about me a little bit this morning in Sunday school, we were looking at the attributes of God, and so I was trying to give the idea of what is an attribute, and so we described ourselves, and so they volunteered me to be the one that was being described, and they said a lot of things about me, but some of the things that you didn't say about me is what I would consider myself to be a very physical person. I do physical things. I like to play physical games. I like to work out and exercise. I like to do that. That's something that I enjoy doing. For me, I feel like I get a lot out of that. It lets a lot go if there's a lot of stress and anxiety, those kind of things. I like to do that. I think Pat's a little like that. That's probably why he and I get along pretty well and go do things and take people on crazy hikes and different stuff. But I've seen the value in exercise and those kind of things in my life. When I was younger, when I was playing sports, I really got into weightlifting and working out and got a lot stronger, and I think that made me a lot better player because of it, and so I really believe that for other people. So I could see that value, and there's value in that. There's definitely value in that. And that takes training, and it takes effort and determination. But if you apply that spiritually and you seek God spiritually and you train yourself spiritually and you make the choice to spend time in His Word, to meditate on Scripture, to memorize it, to pray, to have these things in your life, which, yes, God has to do it in you, but yes, at the same time, everything that you're feeling means it takes effort on your part to do that. That is really, 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 really worth it in your life. And it is the most valuable kind of training you can have. So if we like stacked it up and we said, you know, well, what's more valuable, your physical training or your training as a computer programmer? Well, someone might say, from a monetary point of view, the computer programmer by far. And then the other one might say, well, you know, from a health point of view, it'd be better to be in good shape, you know. But this actually just trumps it all. To be in good shape spiritually, to be where God wants you to be, to understand what He wants you to understand, to have Him in your life is so much more valuable than anything else. Just want to invite you to pray as we go through this passage. Lord, thank You again for Your Word. I just pray that You just have the freedom to speak into our lives and just show us what You want us to learn from this passage today. Thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we're going through 1 Timothy. We are on chapter 4. And what I wanted to do today was to go through quite a bit more of this. I wanted to go verses 6 through 16. But when I looked at it, I realized that this was just too good to do all that, and I was never going to do it, and we were going to be in church all day, and some of you were going to be mad at me because we were going to miss the Seahawks game and that kind of thing. But I realized that we're going to break it down into today, verses 6 through 10, and next week, Lord willing, if we're here, verses 11 through 16. So that's the plan, just so you know. But what we're going to do to start with is I'm just going to read that whole passage, the whole thing all together, because it's all together. It goes together. So let's read that, and then we'll come back and we will talk about it. So Paul writes to Timothy, "If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the word of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers." That's what I said. Packed. This is packed. All right? Packed full of lots of good stuff. So I want to just go through, and I've underlined some things, and this is just reminder for me that the things that are underlined I especially want to talk about. But let's go back to that verse 6. It says, if you put these things before the brothers, and what are these things that Paul's talking about, but the things that he was just talking about and writing about before this? And there's a lot of things that he's reminding them of. And remember, in last week's, he talked about how people would depart from the faith and that there'd be these false, there are these false teachings. About how you couldn't marry people, you weren't free to marry, you weren't free to eat certain foods. And he said everything that he created, food-wise, was created to enjoy. Alright? And, so he's reminding them of this, and I think that's what he's saying by these things. You know, if you will go and stand against these false teachings, put these things before the people, before the brothers, you'll be a good servant to do that. So those things that he's talking about, all the things that he's talked about already, and to be a good servant, he gives some details about what it takes to be a good servant, what it'll take Timothy to be a good servant of Christ, what it'll take us to be a good servant of Christ. So what he says is, you will be a good servant of Christ being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. And in that verse, there are some things that we can pick out, but to be a good servant of God starts by being a student. So if you want to serve God, you should have the attitude that you're a lifelong student, that you're learning, and that you're being trained and you're growing. And what is it that you're learning? You're learning the words of the faith, the Word of God, Scripture. You're learning from the Bible. You're committed to that. Lifelong student. You know, you're not looking like, when is the day that I can graduate? You know, I've been in school and I'm just tired of school and I just want to get out. You know, many of us have had that attitude about things, but it's the opposite. It's like that person who says, you know, I wish I could be a professional student and just stay in school all the time. I love school so much. But it's a little bit like that, to be a lifelong student of the Word. But to be His servant, we have to want to be trained in the words of the faith, and we want that to continue, and it starts with that. And so it says here, the words of the faith and good doctrine, more or less meaning the same thing. Good doctrine is, you know, a good understanding of what the Bible actually teaches. And that would fit like with what we're talking about in Sunday school. You know, let's get an idea about what the whole Bible teaches about things, where we have solid doctrine and solid understanding. And so he says that you need this to be a good servant. And then the last part that really stands out is he says this good doctrine that you've actually followed yourself. And so it's one thing to know all the doctrines and know what the Bible teaches and have all this knowledge in your head, but if it doesn't really get down into your heart and it doesn't really change the way you live, then it's just puffed up knowledge. It doesn't really mean anything to you. But it really has to change you. And so he says you have to really follow this. So I would say to be a good servant of Christ, which I hope every single one of us want to be, we should want to be a student and we should want to be a follower of his. And we follow what it is that he says and what it is that he teaches. All right, then in verse 7, Paul continues as he writes, he says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. All right, so these irreverent or silly myths are things that he's telling Timothy he has to avoid. You have to avoid certain things. There are going to be choices and things that you need to avoid in your life. And isn't that true for us too? Aren't there things like there's a whole life out there of choices that we have to make, and some choices are good and some are bad, and we need to make the right choices. But there are things in our life that we need to avoid, that we need to get away from or move away from, or that we don't take into our lives. So he's saying have nothing to do with them. The irreverence means that there's like a disrespect. There's a disrespect for God in it. All right. It's disrespectful against his word. It could be silly because it's like another word there might be used might be fanciful. Sometimes they might say old wives' tales in some translations. That might be used, old wives' tales. And I don't know why the wives get picked on here, but maybe the old wives used to like to just sit around and tell like big stories about things and stuff. But that's kind of what it means. It means like myths or fables, things that aren't true, but they're told like they're true. And he's saying have nothing to do with that. Now, I think as I think about applying this, I think a real good application is anything about God. Anything about God, if you're going to count it, and it's going to teach you about God, something new. It's going to teach you something new about God, and it doesn't come from the Scripture, then stay away from it. Teaches you something about God, it doesn't come from the Scripture, it's not in line with the Scripture, then stay away from it. Then it's just a myth or a fable, and there are lots of things like that out there. And so what we know is our source about God and our source for training and everything that we need to know about living a right life before God is the Scripture. Amen? Do you agree? That's what I mean when I say amen. Think about it. Do you agree? Do you agree with that? Or are there other books? Are there other things or other stories, other experiences that shed light on it? And I say that you have to be real careful on those things and you want to be avoiding them. And there are things to avoid. For me, I probably avoid things that other people don't avoid, but I'm really set on the fact that what I can trust and what I know is real is the Bible. It's the Word of God. And so I trust it. I follow it. There are things that people come up with that they think add to this, and I don't really think that they do. You can't add to this. This is what God has for us, and He's given us everything that we need to know in Him right here. Okay? So we need to train ourselves in that. So avoid those silly things, irreverent things, and focus on training yourself for godliness in the Word of God. Now, what is godliness? If you do a study on the Word and you look at what it means, it's an inner response to God. It's an inner response to Him. We respond to Him properly. It's a lot like when we talk about worship. The godliness in our lives. God brings out godliness. It's like God is bringing out that appropriate response to Him. That we respond to Him the way that we should. And we live our lives in a reverent way before Him. And that there's definitely a humbleness and a surrenderedness to Him. And we do it God's way and we follow Him. And that's godliness. And I think you can see you're more the person that God wants you to be when you're living more godly. You'll never be God. You'll never be promoted to that. That's not possible. You're always a person, a human being. But people can be more godly and they can be more like Jesus. So he says what you need to do is you need to train yourself for that. Train yourself for that. Now, it's interesting because in theology and in Bible teachings and things, people sometimes like to go really far in one direction. They like to say, you know, you can't do anything. You contribute nothing. And I more or less believe this, that God does all the good things in us and He does all the work and brings about all the change. But at the same time, in our experience and where we are, He gives us choices about what we do and how we use our time, and we exert ourselves. And there are so many places in the Bible that talk about doing things for yourself or training, you know. So basically that has to kind of do with the realm of our experience and the choices that we make. Okay, so if I choose to train myself, I know that I'm not really doing it alone. God is there for me. He's there with me. He's provided everything that I need for that training. It's kind of like when I do push-ups. I can do push-ups. Do I get stronger when I do push-ups? Yeah. Is it just because I did push-ups, or is it because God is allowing my body, and He created my body, and He made it to respond in that way to, if I do push-ups, that muscles will grow? And I think that muscles grew bigger and faster when I was younger, when I was in my early 20s, than they do now that I'm in my 40s. And so I can try my hardest probably to build and add muscles, but they probably don't add the same way. That's because that's God. He does it. So He allows me to make the choice about whether to train myself, but He is the one that actually makes it happen. And I think it's the same thing spiritually. And we choose to do it. You know, we're not really the one that makes it happen. We just make that choice, and God meets us there, and He meets us in our efforts. And so here we can be said that we train ourselves for godliness. Now, we have to make that choice, though. Like every day we get up, we got to make that choice whether or not we're going to read our Bible today, whether or not we're going to pray, whether or not we're going to trust Him with the really hard things in our lives. This training is not all about like exercise, and like if you can compare exercise to memorizing scripture or something like that, this training goes much deeper. You know, we accept the experiences and things that God puts us through because we know that He's developing us. And this training is like part of that. We're letting God develop us into what He wants us to be. So our goal, our biggest goal, is godliness. We want to be like Him. We want to be like the people that He wants us to be. And we want Him to be glorified because of the life that we live. All right, so one thing that I've done recently, and I didn't come up with this on my own, but I read this in a book. And I'm reading so many books, I forget which book it was. And if one of you guys, if it's like our men's group or something, and I share this with some of you, but one of the things I do, and thank you for smartphones, I put my phone beside my bed, and I've got the Bible on my phone, and I've got Our Daily Bread on my phone. And for like the last few weeks, one of the things I did, first thing I do in the morning before I get up out of bed, well, first thing I get my eyes just kind of opened a little bit, and I try to like open the window and just adjust them to the light a little bit. But then I grab my phone, and I bring and I read a chapter of the Bible, and I read Our Daily Bread, and I read whatever the passage is on that one. I want God's Word to be transforming my mind before anything else gets a hold of me that day. I want that to be the very first thing that comes. And if I pray, it's going to be a really quick prayer. Okay, the book that I read, I have to figure out, I'm going to get my mind which book it was that I'm reading. It's talking about, you know, whether we're going to pray or it's going to be the Word. But yeah, this was a Desiring God book, right? This was Desiring God by John Piper, I'm pretty sure. But to be transformed in your mind, to welcome that into your life like right off the bat, to begin thinking about things the way God wants you to get His words in front of you. Like even before I go to Him in prayer, like if I'm going to pray, it's going to be, God, show me what You want to show me in Your Word right here. Bring that into my life, read that, and then take a moment and pray for the day, get things off on a solid footing. That's not it. That's not all the Bible reading. That's not all the focus. That's not all the study. But it's like, I want that to be first and most important. And I get up at 4:45 some mornings to go to the gym and play basketball. And so for me, and I said I was a very physical person. So I would go there and I'd play basketball, and I'd probably spend about 3 hours down there at the YMCA. And some people think I'm crazy because I don't sleep. But it's good. But for a lot of my life, I would just do that. That'd be the first thing that I would go. And that's what comes natural to me. I could get up to go play a sport. I'd get out of bed. I would have trouble getting out of bed for a lot of things, but I'd get up out of bed to do that. But I'd spend all that time playing basketball, working out, lifting weights, doing those things. And then I'd be getting a really late start on that connection with God. And so for me, it's been a big reversal of things. It's like, look, it's not too early. I still have time to get up and spend about 10 minutes here with God right off the bat. First thing, get it started. And I think a smartphone is so nice for that. Okay? I belong to Team iPhone. I don't know who you guys belong to, if you guys are with Android or whatever, you know. Just joking, guys. All right, but here we go. So, train yourselves for godliness. Okay, so then in verse 8 he continues, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So as you see, like things like exercise, they do bring value to your life. They do help you out. I mean, God does want you to take care of yourself, and He wants you to be able to basically be a steward over the body that He's given you, to be a good steward of that. And there's value in that, but it doesn't really compare to the value spiritually. If you compare them, there's so much more value spiritually. We are just given that as an example because it's obvious. But sometimes we pass on the obvious, and we especially pass on this most valuable thing, which is to train ourselves for godliness. There's so much value in it. It says it's valuable in a couple ways. It says it's valuable in every way, and he gives two of them. But he says it's valuable in this present life. You will live a better life here on this earth if you welcome God into your life, and you wish to seek Him with all your heart, and you wish to train yourself in godliness. You will live a better life on this earth. Amen? Do you believe me in that? I'm not saying, you know, like your business is going to go crazy and all this money is going to come raining down. That's kind of what they teach on TV, and it's wrong. But to have God in your life is the greatest treasure in the world. To have Him as your friend, to walk with Him, to serve Him, and to have that is the greatest blessing. And so if you train yourself for godliness, you get godliness. You get it. It's a great blessing. And it comes in this life. You don't have to wait till you die. You know that the Bible says that when we receive Christ, we have eternal life. We already have it. It's already here. We're living in that. We don't have to wait till we die to get eternal life. The eternal life has started. And so it's a value in the present life. And this is something that exercise, investing in stocks and bonds, planning for your retirement, having a good job, going to college, those kind of things, they're valuable today. We can kind of see the value in them. But you know what? None of it can you take with you when you go. When you leave this life, and every single one of us is either going to die or Jesus is coming back, you can't take that stuff with you. It's not really going to be of value to you then. But he's saying that if you focus on God and you set your heart on training in His Word and in living it, because remember, what he said to Timothy, he says, not only you got to be trained in it, but you got to actually follow it and you got to live it. If you set your heart on God, that's of value, not only today on this earth, but it's of value in the life to come. And that's a very motivating and exciting thought. You know, that we can do things that really matter. And so, like, when we come and we open the Bible and we study together, this is very valuable stuff we're talking about, isn't it? He goes on, he says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Now, remember, he's said this before. So this is maybe something that he's quoting from somewhere else. He picks up from somewhere else. But he says, for to this end, and what is the end that he's talking about there? Godliness. The end is godliness. It's training for godliness. It's striving for godliness. It's trying to respond to God appropriately. For to this end we toil and we strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. All right, so looking at this verse, this would be an example of a verse that talks about us having to work and toil and strive. Now, we know from the Bible, from the Scripture, that we don't earn our salvation. It's not by works that we're saved. It's by faith that we're saved through God's grace. And we really can't add anything to our salvation. And that's not what this is talking about here. But within our salvation, God still gives us the choice each day to decide whether or not we're going to seek Him. We're going to read His Word. We're going to do those things. And believe me, within it, there is a kind of toiling and a striving and a working at it and serving Him. And sometimes you might be serving Him. Like, let's say you're doing something at the church and nobody says thank you to you. Or let's say that there's a lot to be cleaned up or something like that, and everybody leaves and you're the last one there and you got to do it all. And there's work in that, right? Sometimes it's just exhausting to serve God. And then you have to remind yourself, you know what? I'm not doing this for other people. I'm not doing this for thanks. I'm not doing this to be fair. I'm doing this for you, God. This is an offering I'm giving to you. I want to have a right heart about it. But sometimes it's hard work. Amen? And in those experiences, when you have experiences like that, and you can get your focus on God, and it can be thinking about it right, you grow in godliness. You do. You grow. And that's why the opportunity to serve together at this church is such an amazing blessing by God. He uses us to grow us and to shape us into what He wants us to be. And it's such a privilege to be serving here. But it's going to take some hard work. Isn't it? Amen. It's not always easy. So I think when I'm looking at this, he says, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. This thing, like if I were to put this in my words, what I think this is saying, what I think it means is this godliness that we're after. This godliness that we're looking for. This appropriate response to God. We will get that if our hope is set on the living God. If our hope is set on Him, we'll get Him. We'll get it. We'll get godliness. If our hope is set on something else, it could be any number of other things, then we're going to come up empty. So it's so important that our hope is set on the right thing. Now hope, a lot of good ways to think about hope. And Pastor Lynn, who was here before, who had all the good definitions. He's a good word guy. I guess I'm a physical guy. He's a good word guy. He had some, and I liked some of them, so I'll share some of those with you. One that really stuck with me was when he said, "It ain't over yet." Hope is that idea. It ain't over yet. And then the other one that I really liked is that certainty that the best is still yet to come. The best is still yet to come. And think about that one for a minute. That's such a good one. Think about the pains and different hurts and things that we go through in life. And yet that idea that knowing, hey, the best is yet to come. All these pains and these tears and hurts and things that we have, they're going to be wiped away. And we're going to experience with God in heaven our very best days. Your very best days are not behind you. You know, we talked about this a little bit at men's study. Like some people say, man, I wish I was 25 again. I just felt great when I was 25. And I think I'm like one of these people that I just like whatever age I'm at. That's my favorite age. I like that age. It's the best. But the truth is, our best is not behind us. And if we've retired, those days, our best is ahead of us with God and what He's going to do and with Him in eternity. That's hope. And we have that hope and we can live by it. And I hope that as we leave here today, man, we're just filled with hope in God. And I think, again, going back to what I said, you will become more godly. You will grow in your response to God, but your hope has to be set on the living God. God's not dead. He's alive. He's roaring like a lion, isn't he? He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Okay. God's not dead. And we got to remember that. And when this thing, living God, it's that idea that, you know, people pray to little idols and statues and things back at this time. But there's a real God who's alive, who's a real being who exists, who we're learning more and more about. He's omnipresent. He's right here. He hears what we're saying about Him, what we're thinking about Him. He knows it. He's there. He's there for us. And He's alive. We have to put our hope in Him. Okay, and He is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. And that's an interesting thing. And I think what it means is that it says a lot. Like one thing, who's our Savior? Jesus. And so for me, like when I read passages like this, this is just another passage that confirms that our understanding is correct. We can draw from and understand Jesus is God. The living God is our Savior. Jesus is the one who is our Savior. It's God the Son who died on the cross for us. And many times that those thoughts, those ideas are mixed. Jesus is called God in many ways, and this is just one of them. He's the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. I don't think this is saying that everyone just automatically gets saved because of Jesus. But what I think it's saying is He died for everyone. Everyone has the opportunity to come to Christ in faith and believe. And this is especially true for those who do believe, those who accept Him. And that's the bottom line, is we have to respond to Him. We have to believe. We have to trust Him as our Savior. There's a surrendering to Him. We come to Him and we believe. And so That's as far as we're going to go in the passage. And I just have four recap points, just so we remember. And you can know and you can see them coming. And these should be familiar to you. But I think that it's good to kind of hear things multiple times. Help it to sink in. Do you want to be a good servant? Are you here today just because you're going through the motions? This is just something to do? Or are you here because you really want to hear from God and you really want to be a good servant? And I hope it's that. If you really want to be a good servant, be a lifelong student of the Word. You can't do it without the Word. You cannot do the job as a servant of God without having the Word of God in your life. I want to compare it to something. Have you ever bucked hay? I have, and it probably was one of the hardest, most unpleasant jobs that I ever had in my life. And I think it is, one thing is if you have allergies at all, and you don't like things in your nose, it's really hard. I think the hay bales weighed probably, weighed about, that just must have been a slip, what it felt like, you know. I think they weighed either 40 or 70 pounds or something. It depends on what size they are and how big they are. And you're running around and you're lifting them up and you're putting them on the truck. And it's probably about 90 degrees that day when you're doing it, unless you're lucky and it's cooler. And you're picking them up and you're throwing them on there and you're probably wearing a lot of clothes because you don't want that hay to start rubbing on you. But you know, as you're getting hot and you're just drenched with sweat and maybe you let your arms up a little bit, then the hay starts rubbing on your arms and it starts like just really digging into your skin. And now you got it in your nose. And believe me, the next day, just the most crazy looking stuff's going to come out of your nose. And you're going to be not enjoying this. And I don't know anyone who does. It's hard. It's hot. It hurts. And I just think about this idea of saying, you know, I'm going to do this day after day after day after day. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to refuse water and I'm going to refuse lunch and food, breakfast. I'm going to fast while I do this. You're going to have a really hard time. And I think that's what it's like in life with us. It's like we need the Word of God. We need that nourishment in our lives. Okay, so we need that. So when you look at this point, be a lifelong student of the Word, we need it. To be that, to be a servant of God is like bucking hay. It's not easy. You gotta be nourished. Okay, and remember, we can't be the kind of people that just look at the Bible and like learn a bunch of facts, but we actually need to do what it says. It is the authority for our lives. God has given that to us. He wrote that to us for a reason, so we need to follow it. Okay, number two here. There are gonna be choices in this life, and every single one of us here, we need to make spiritually healthy choices. And we sometimes make choices that aren't very spiritually healthy for us, right? And we need to make those choices. We need to make the right ones. And so there are things that we need to avoid. And I put avoid non-biblical teaching about God. Avoid non-biblical teaching about God. If it's not from the Bible, then how can I really know that that is from God? And so I avoid it. And I think the Bible has everything in it that we need to know about God. Now, train yourself for godliness. That's the other thing. Make spiritual healthy choices. So again, you're going to decide when is it in your day that's going to be the best time for you to read your Bible, for you to be alone, for you to seek God, for you to pray. You need it. You need to figure out what that is. And you need to do it. And you need to make that choice. And He will meet you there. I promise you, He will meet you there in that. Okay, number three. Spiritual training is the most valuable training you can get. You can't take another course or get another degree that is more valuable than if you commit to being a student of the Word of God and being trained in the Word of God. Nothing's going to compare. All those other things, they're valuable now, but they're not valuable for the life to come. So remember that. It's profitable today, tomorrow, and it's profitable in the life to come. All right, this is 4 of 4. I think this point has probably been drilled in a little bit here, but godliness takes some pain. It takes some pain. You remember that old saying, no pain, no gain? Right? I mean, we experience pain and difficulty in life and things like that. And God uses it to make us godly. But if that never existed, if everything went the way Heath wanted it to go for everything, everything went my way, I would never grow. And we can see that. We can see that we grow so much in the Lord when things don't go the way we want us to, and when we experience pain or when we have to work hard at things. Okay, and then just remember that, and I drilled it in, I believe I did, our hope has to be set on God. Can't be on anything else. Our best is yet to come. It ain't over yet. And that's it. We stop here. And let's just take a moment and pray about this. Lord, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Lord, my prayer is that we are very motivated by this, Lord, that we want to train in the good things of your word and in prayer. We want to follow you and we want to seek you, Lord. And so I just ask that you watch over us this week, that you help us and that you really do come alongside us and meet us in what we do. That if we've been lacking and not motivated to be in your word, Lord, you would change that. You would erase that. You would move on us in such a way that we will seek you and we will follow you. We love you and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.